Exodus 12.
Exodus 12. Want to say Happy Mother's Day? And that is to XX females, not XY. It's not Happy Birthing Person's Day that they're trying to turn it into. It's Happy Mother's Day. It's a tough world our teens are growing up in. If you misgender somebody, they're mad at you, or they're... I was just telling our Sunday school class, Canada just passed a law that if you misgender somebody, you can get a fine and jail time out of it. It's coming this way, guys. It's coming. Anyways, Pastor always talks about throwing three verses up in the air and shooting at them and see what comes down. So I tried that this week, and I got two tickets out of it. One for shooting a gun in the barrel and for littering. So we're going to forget that one. We're going to try something different. But Exodus 12. And we're going to read 1 through 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male for the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and he shall keep it unto it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Nick, can you pray for our service, please?
Father, I thank you very much for this church, and I thank you for Brother Neil, and I often get great conviction and blessing from his messages, and I pray that you would give that liberty today, and I thank you so much for what you do here. Thank you for how good you are, and I praise your name. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. I want to also thank everybody that was praying for our family last week. Everything went way better than what we could have ever expected, and I know it was because of the prayers of people. So I want to appreciate that. Now, in verse 7, we started, and they shall take of the blood. That's pretty much what this message is going to be about, is blood. Drop down to verses 29 and 30 of that same chapter. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians that were, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was one dead. How about your house? Has the blood been on your doorposts? Are you raising your family that they'll be covered, that they will understand it, they will accept the free gift that Christ gives them? Have you taken those? We're talking life and death here. We just read it. It's only Christ's blood that will save you.
Right.
So it needs to start at home. It needs to start at your doorpost. You need to make sure, as a family, you're taking care of your household. You're trying to make sure that price is... We already know the price has been paid. We just need to make sure that our kids know that. We know that we're passing that down to them. That, again, these are hard times we're looking at. We don't have a lot of time to waste to let kids figure it out themselves. We need to be teaching it, preaching it all the time that we can. Go back to Exodus 11:1 real quick. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague more upon you. And this is talking about the plagues that they already had done, and Moses is telling him, Yet will I bring one more plague. how many plagues are we going to have to see in our families, in our churches, before we get serious about it? Are we just, oh, that's them people over there, or that's, well, they deserved it because they're not Christians, or they're not in the house of God. There's yet one more plague coming. And your family is very susceptible to it. Unless you've done your job, and you have them trained, and you're ready to go about it. How much more will it take before we get serious about it? Go with me to Leviticus 1, please. Now I'm going to read through these probably pretty fast. We're going to do Leviticus 1, verses 3 through 5. And this is talking about all the offerings, and I'm just going to hit a few of them here. Obviously, there's so much more to all the offerings. But 3 through 5, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priest, Aaron's son, and shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle and the congregation. Obviously, this is Old Testament. Obviously, this is what they had to do for sins. There's each sacrifice has a reason and what it's for and stuff. The one thing I did notice that was voluntary. It said right in there that was a voluntary offering. So that you understood you had done something wrong, you needed to get something straight, you went and you did it. Again, it was making an atonement. The thing that I caught in one of these, or pretty much every one of these, we didn't see it in this one as much, that you had to lay your hand on the head of that animal. You had to show ownership that goat or that lamb was taking your place. His blood was getting spilt because of something you did.
Amen.
Exactly what Jesus did for us. He didn't do anything wrong. We're the ones that did it. But yet he paid the price. Chapter 3 of Leviticus, verses 1 and 2. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or a female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering. Okay, that's what I was just talking about. That showed ownership. Your sins were going to be covered by this animal. And it killed at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons and priests shall sprinkle the blood upon the round the altar. Again, the blood is significant with death. And Old Testament, New Testament, it's the blood. It's the most important thing. The sacrifice that had to be done, that people had to go through to make sure that they were forgiven back then. It's the same thing Christ did for us. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, and this is a sin offering. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning these things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, excuse me, verse 3, if the priest that is anointed to do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, whether he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, again that transfer of sin, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger into the blood, and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar for the burnt offering. If I'm mistaken, I apologize, but in there when it says they had to put their hand upon verse 4 at the end, shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. I'm taking it that that person had to kill that bullock.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
So they not only, they got bloody out of it.
Yes, sir.
You can't kill anything without getting bloody. So they had to, not only putting their hand on that head, they also had to kill that animal for it to pay the price for that person. I don't think we understand, or we don't take it as serious, what Jesus Christ did for us. He allowed us all to put our hands on him, then we killed him.
That's right.
That's pretty serious.
Sir.
Verses 13 through 18, that same chapter. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and a thing be hid from his eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning these things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. All that to say is, that was a whole group that had put their hand on the head. They had to, a whole group that was guilty, and they had to kill this animal together. Now, you do things as friends or families, you do stuff and you have memorable moments. Remember when we did this, remember when we did that. Asquithson and Tim McVeigh had dinner last night, and I won't say where because there might be some vegans that'll get upset. But you do things with people, and then it'll be a memory. Well, wouldn't you remember putting your hand on an animal's head with a bunch of other people and then killing it? Wouldn't that be a memory that would stick in your head?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a memory that, man, I really messed up to do that. I'm going to change my life in that.
That's
what our Bible is. It tells us what we're doing wrong. It tells us we need to change the pathway we're going. Verses 22 through 25 in the same chapter. When a ruler had sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, and he shall bring his offering a kid goat, goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it. I think you see where we're going, right? You had to come, you had to bring the animal, you had to put your hand upon it, you had to sacrifice that animal. Down to 33 and 34 of the same chapter. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for the sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. Dale did an excellent study on Leviticus. He knows way more than I do about that. This is why we're just kind of skipping over, hitting the edges. But it's the power of the blood.
That's right.
It's,
yes, sir.
All the way through here, it's what does the blood mean? What does that sacrifice mean specifically? Why did that animal have to die? Now, Pastor Asquith has said this before, and I'm going to try it. This is not doctrinal, the next part I'm going to bring to you. Take a file folder, put this in it, seal it back up, think about it for another day. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Here's the question I have. Do angels have blood? Could blood be the reason Satan fell? Is it why he wants us to fall? Now, we know he wanted to be like God. He wanted to have his power. But if we go to Genesis 1:27, like I said, I'm not preaching doctrine. I'm just put this in a file folder. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, if we're in his image, we got God's blood? Does he have blood? Do we have the same blood? To me, I've never seen in our Bible where an angel bleeds, or I've never seen where seraphim or anything like that, anything that's created by God has blood. Okay, so this is what I'm saying. I'm not preaching doctrinal. Put it in a file folder. It's something for you to think about another time. But it, to me, struck me that God loves us enough, and blood is such an important thing in religion, that That might be why Satan didn't like us, because we got blood and he didn't get blood. Just saying. Just put it in the file folder. Go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 8. This is where Judas betrays Christ. He's given him the 30 pieces of silver. He's given him the kiss. Everything's going on. Verse 3 of chapter 27. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. How many here have said that to God? Now, obviously, we're reading about Judas. But those of you who that have gotten saved have said, I betrayed that innocent blood. How many of you today cannot say that? Again, the blood is very important. Rest of that verse, and they said, what is that to us? Now, here comes the question out of that is that the church's response? When we get somebody that says, I betrayed the innocent blood, and we say, what's that to us? Deal with it, whatever. It's not our problem. It's not our issue. If we know somebody has sinned or we know somebody that's lost, it should be our problem. It should be our deal. We have already betrayed the innocent blood. We shouldn't add to our betrayal.
That's right.
Verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out, hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. I want you to look at that. Because it is the price of blood. Christ's blood came at a price. My father-in-law says if it's free, take two. I say if it's free, you don't. It's not worth it. Why take it? We disagree on that item. But Christ's blood had a price.
That's right.
I think we just don't take it serious anymore. That we, oh yeah, everybody wears a cross necklace, or oh we, yeah, yeah, Christ died, whatever. It was his blood that saved us. It was his action going to the cross, but it was that spilt precious blood that cleared us. He took that hand off that animal, said, you're free, you can go. They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. And I have written in my Bible hell right behind that. If somebody is a stranger, we know that they died without, they're a stranger to God, they're getting buried in hell.
That's right.
It's not just, oh, they went to the cemetery. A lot of people today don't want to get saved because, oh, well, my uncle was a drunk and we had a party at his funeral and we'll see him all in hell again. It's not that good. It's not going to be a party. People get too, it's the word I want to say, too comfortable in this lifestyle that they don't care about their own sin. They don't care about where they're going to spend eternity. And that's not a good thing. Verse 8, wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Again, it got named the field of blood because blood was so important back then as it is now. It's all about the blood. What is your price of blood? Can you say it's been covered? Can you say, praise the Lord, it's been taken care of? Or don't you know? It could be life in hell could be the price of your blood. Now, this is a Mother's Day message, so we'll hit the mothers real quickly. There's blood types, and if there's any medical people here, you'll know this. There's A, there's B, AB, and O. They all have a negative, they all have a positive. And O can cover basically any other blood, if I'm correct on that. Do you have any nurses that can tell me yes or no?
All right. Positive can only do positive blood.
Okay, thank you very much, Miss Jen.
She's not even a
nurse. So, talking about children, dads and moms decide baby's type. But mom is the only one through the umbilical cord that can feed or nourish that baby. That baby has life thanks to the blood.
Amen.
Physical birth, that child will have blood because the mother has been taking care of it all that time. So happy thought for the day for mothers. Thank you for having an umbilical cord. Thank you for feeding us babies. Thank you for having really good ovens, because my wife had a really good oven. Our children were both very, pretty big kids. But the blood, that blood carries life. It carries oxygen, carbon dioxide, there's platelets, there's all kinds of stuff that's in there that we don't even know about that can feed and nourish us. It nourishes the body. Now, I took I'm going to take A, B, all those, and put little words with them, little phrases with them. A stands for alive. You're all right. You're living for God. You've accepted Christ. Everything's going good. Again, there's a plus and a negative with that. You're living for God, but you know you can do better. That's the A minus. Or you can be A positive, and you can be doing everything you can do for Christ. And believe me, these blood types have nothing to do. If you know your blood type, I'm not cutting anybody down by their blood type. I'm just using them for what they call acronym. Am I right on that? All right, we'll go with it. So you're all right, you're living for God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. B is for battling daily struggles. Are you doing it with Christ? Are you doing it through his strength, through his power? Again, there's a negative, and we'll do a positive. Not saying you're failing at it, but you know you can do better. Two, I'm doing it, and I think I'm doing it right. Okay? AB is another beating, another knockdown. Again, if you're in a Christian family, you know life isn't always a bed of roses. There are days that you get knocked down and you got to get yourself back up, or you're going to go the other way. And you know that. You know that you have to be focused on Christ for when those beatings come, when those knockdowns come, you can trust this word of God and get back up on your feet, knowing that the blood covered you, that you can handle it, you'll be all right. Now the O stands for oblivious. You're oblivious for the need of blood. But my wife did something. I don't know what I did wrong, but you are oblivious for the need of Jesus' blood. That would be you that have lost. If you're lost here today, you have no idea that you're oblivious that you need Christ's blood to save you. You just think everything's fine. You're going to make it through life, and you'll go to that great yonder. I don't know how many funerals I go to or how many people I hear that they've passed away and, oh, they're in a better place now. Yeah. Depends.
Bye.
Your life is judged for the whole thing, not just for when you were at work or when you were at home or when you went to church. The whole package gets judged by God. Everything you say or do is getting, he's watching. If you are oblivious today for the need of blood, he's already shed the blood. It's your choice what you want to do with it. I have a niece that was born premature. She was 1 pound, 12 ounces, and she would fit from here to here. When my brother he put his hand behind her when she was just born, she was that long. She had several blood transfusions. I don't know medically, again, if you know what that means, but basically take out some bad blood, put in some new blood. They had to do that several times to keep her, because of all the medications and all the other things, that they kept a very high monitor on what her blood, different levels were, stuff like that. Then they would give her a transfusion, and they'd give her newer blood to go. Out with the old, in with the new. As a Christian, sometimes we need transfusions. That's why we have multiple services in a week. Your blood might be getting dirty. It might be getting filthy.
Yeah, that's right.
Starting to back up on you. That was for you, Judge. You need a blood transfusion. And this word, time and prayer, the house of God can help you with that. Get you the new blood that you need to get going. Now, talking about the different bloods, go to 1 John with me. First John 1:7. I'm just going to hit a couple verses that deal with Christ's blood. 1 John 1, 5 through 8. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, it's already been done. It's up to you now to make a choice. If you don't know Christ, do I want that beautiful blood, or do I want hell? Do I want to be in hell because I couldn't live for Christ? I couldn't handle, I mean, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost changing my view or my opinion, I would still be heading for hell, if not already there. I am trying to convince you today that you need Christ if you're lost, but I can't do anything other than tell you these things. I can't do it for you.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews, if you go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle made with hands, that it is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. It wasn't from the blood, it just told you in verse 12, it's not from the blood of goats and calves. Somebody else cannot pay it for you. Christ is the only one that could pay that price for you. For 13, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit have offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Again, he throughout your Bible is going to tell you, Old Testament, New Testament, it's the blood. You've got to have the blood. The next one is same. Next chapter 10. Verses 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Again, it's in there. Somebody else cannot pay it for you. Only Jesus' blood will do. Not getting sprinkled, being baptized, mom and dad's legacy, I'll say, a Christian family legacy except for you. Going to church is not going to do it. Being good enough is not going to do it. Paying tithe is not good enough. Volunteering, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to put in there. That's a Hotel Transylvania reference. Blah, blah, blah. You can do all the things you can do. Everybody can say, well, that guy is... every Sunday I see him go out. Every Wednesday, shirt and tie. It doesn't matter what you do. It's what happens in here. You gotta be covered by the blood. It's the only way that it works. It's the only way it's gonna happen. I wanna go back to Matthew 27 again. We're going right back to the same passage. 27, 3 through 8. Again, we did verse 4. I'll read them again. Then Judas said, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed that innocent blood. Again, we have all can say that response right there. And then that next part, and they said, what is it to us? Church folks, we got to do our better job. We got to be willing to help people. We need to be willing to do what Christ tells us to do. If he says, talk to that person, talk to that person. If he says, give them a track, give them a track. I've done it several times, but God has told me, talk to that person, and I walk out the door, and then the Lord will constantly bring that back to your memory. Yeah. You didn't talk to that person. You didn't talk to that person. Yep, it's too late now. That person is going to give an account, and if I would have done my part, it might be a different answer to that account.
Amen.
Do we care anymore? You can't go forward until you understand the innocent blood. It was somebody that had everything. He's the creator. He's everything. Yet came down to our level so that we might go to his level. Without his blood, we're nothing. Verse 6 again. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. Again, there is a price. How much more are you going to waste money on for that free gift? We always think we got to do something more. We have to do something more. I'm not good enough. I'm better than that person. I don't need it. We all need that same free blood. Now, God has, if we just listed our blood types, if I'm saying God has blood, he's not going to have the same exact blood type as us. So his is going to be HD plus, the Holy Ghost plus. If you look in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Holy Ghost, HG, positive. If he has a blood type, I'm going to say that's what it's going to be. Acts 1:16. This will be our last one. Acts 1:16 through 18. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Excuse me. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. So here the other Peter's talking, I believe it was, and he's talking about, we lost Judas. He's gone. He was with us. He had a part in what we were doing. He would have got good for that, got credit. He had obtained part of this ministry we're doing. Verse 18, now this man purchased a field with the rewarding of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It doesn't sound very happy, especially on Mother's Day. But you see what happened to man that chose not to follow God. He did it for money. He did it for pride. And he ended up dying. He ended up without having the blood cover him. He didn't wait around long enough to see the blood. He's the one that caused the blood to be spilled. Would you rather purchase a field with the reward of your iniquity? That was in the middle of 18 there. Purchase a field with the reward of iniquity. Our reward of iniquity is death. We all deserve death with no resurrection because of the price we paid. If we ignored Christ, if we refused Christ, if we turned him down, we purchased the field and our reward was iniquity. Would you rather purchase a field with the rewards of iniquity, hell, or be given a mansion that was bought and paid for with that precious blood?
Amen.
He promises you in this Bible that he went to prepare a place for us. He did all the work. We have a choice. We can purchase a field with the reward of our iniquity and go to hell. Or we can trust the scriptures that we've had. We can trust our eyes, our ears, our smell. If you are living for Christ, he's going to show you how good he is. If you continue to butt heads with him, it's not going to be a good reward. It's not going to be a good time. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
Hopefully that wasn't a boring one.
It was not boring.
Let's go to prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for your mercies and your strengths. I ask that you would be with us this day. Bless the mothers. Bless them in a special way. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.